Palm Sunday. I just wondered if you knew why. Well, yes. Who was coming to Jerusalem? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, people did something with palm. They waved them, just as we've got these palm crosses that we can wave, and they're made out of real palm. And some of you know that Monica, who's sitting at the back, often goes to Kenya, where she works in a village there. Anybody remember the name of that village? We use it sometimes in the church. What about the over-15s? They should know the answer to this. Obambo. Well, these palm crosses don't come from Obambo, but they come from Kenya, and they come from one of the tribes that lives in Kenya. They make these in a village. They make hundreds and thousands of these crosses, and quite a lot of different churches in this country buy them, and then that helps to give them a bit of an income. So we always have 200 or 300 of these here, which we use. What we like you to do is to take the cross away and put it somewhere in your home where it will be seen. Sometimes I find it really useful if I go visiting in the church, if I've never been to your house before and I don't know where it is in the road, and I look up and down, see if there's a palm cross in the window or on the front door. And that's often a good indication that I'm at the right place. Quite a lot of people will display these somewhere prominently in their home or in their car. I don't think I'd ever put one up in my car. I don't think I always drive in a very Christian manner. So I don't know that I could cope with it in the car. But I'm sure good drivers, and there are obviously many of them here, because they all went, ooh, just now. I'm sure they'll be putting them up in their cars. Well, children, I came across something the other day. I came across some nice pictures that, if I can get them to work, I thought would really help us understand what happened on the first Palm Sunday. So this is a reading from the Bible. It says, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, those were two villages, at the mountain called Olivet, sometimes we call that the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples on ahead, saying, I want you to go into a village opposite you, and you're going to see somebody there's got a donkey, nobody's ever ridden on it before, and I want you to loose it and bring it here. And if anybody says to you, why are you loosing it? You'll say to them, well, the Lord has need of it. I wonder what I'd say if I went outside and somebody was taking my car away and I said, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord has need of it. I wonder what I'd say. So those two who were sent went on their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. So that was one of the things they did. And as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. You can see, look, there's a man there who's actually taken a branch off a tree. He's getting ready to wave it, and people are looking pretty excited. And they began to praise with a loud voice for all the mighty works they'd seen Jesus had done. And they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. That means, look, tell them off. They shouldn't really be having a good time. It looks as if they're on their way to church. Maybe they should look miserable. Tell them off. They can't be enjoying themselves like this. But Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city in the distance and wept over it, saying, if you'd known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And you can see they went on their way and into the city. And then it was just a few days later that the crowd of people who'd been shouting praise to Jesus, they were the very people who said, oh no, we've heard enough of him, take him away, and we don't want to hear him anymore. And Jesus was taken away and met an early end. So Palm Sunday, very happy. Then a few days later, when you break up from school and we have the school holiday, we're having a special day here on Friday, just to remember that time when Jesus gave himself upon the cross for our sins. Then next Sunday, we're going to meet together and really praise God, because when Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave on the third day. And that's what we celebrate next Sunday when we come together on Easter Day. So that's a little bit about Palm Sunday. It was the day we remember that Jesus went into Jerusalem and people got very excited and they broke off branches and waved them and shouted praise to him. Well, let's pray for the children and then we'll sing them out. Let's say a prayer together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the children and all the young people in this church. And I want to pray that as they go on their way, you'd give them a good time and lots of understanding about what Easter is all about. Amen. Oh, I forgot to say that next Sunday, when you come, you won't be coming here, because we're just having one service next week, and it's at Claverham in the morning, but for the whole church, all four congregations. And children, I'm really sad I can't come out with you next week, because it's the Easter egg hunt. And I think I'd have enjoyed hunting for the chocolate eggs, you see. But still, there'll be more for you if I'm not there. Let's stand up and sing our song, and you can go off to your groups now.
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven. Heavens and waters and skies, let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, it's great in glory, it's great in mercy, King of heaven, great. God of heaven living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty,
your majesty.
I can't abide.
I lay my all
before you now.
In royal robes.
I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you. Love eternal, faithful and true. You bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. Oh, cries out in praise. Majesty, I can't but bow. I lay my all before you now.
Royal robes,
I don't deserve. I live to serve your
majesty.
I can't but bow. I lay my all before you now.
Royal robes,
I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. I live to serve your majesty.
If you wish to bring out an offering whilst we're singing the next song, baskets at the front here.
Oh, lift up his name in all the earth. Lift up your voice and give him glory. For he is worthy to be praised. Lift up his name with the sound of singing. Lift up his name in all the earth. Lift up your voice and give him glory. For he is worthy to be praised. Lift up his name with the sound of singing. Lift up his name in all the earth. Lift up your voice and give him glory. For he is worthy to be praised. Lift up his name with the sound of singing. Lift up his name in all the earth. Lift up your voice and give him glory. For he is worthy to be praised. For he is worthy to be praised. For he is worthy to be
thank you that we can praise and worship you and just bring something worthy to you this afternoon. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity, another day of life, another day of health, another day of freedom where we can choose to come and do this, spend this time in your presence. And Lord, we know that as a result of honoring you and putting you first, you will honor us and you will go with us. And we just look to you now to come and speak to us as we continue in this service. Amen. Mm-hmm. Please sit down. A few announcements about things happening or that have happened in the church. Quite a lot. Thank you so much if you prayed on Friday about the event, because I think the people who did it were very encouraged at the number who turned up, the worship, the food, the time together went really well. And let's pray that God will use this activity to bring some of those people closer to himself. There are still a few church Easter cards left if you want to take and give as personal invitations to people, or just put a few out down the road in which you live. There are some outside there. It's a busy week this week in the church. This is Holy Week, and that means that for some years we've had a morning meeting every morning of Holy Week, apart from Saturday. And the first one will be in here tomorrow at 7:30. Are you all right, Emily? Yes, just thank the Lord you're not older, or I could have been hit by your teeth. Oh, let's not go there. So tomorrow morning, the first meeting kicks off at 7:30. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7:30. Friday morning, you get a line because the meeting doesn't start till 8 o'clock. There are two meetings on Friday morning. And then next Sunday, as I've already mentioned, there is only going to be one service for the whole church. It's up at Claverham. I've said in the notice sheet, if that gives some of our people particular difficulty over getting there, then if they let us know by Tuesday, we'll see what we can do to ask around and see if we can get lifts for them. We've still got one or two places. Well, we've got places on both the soccer, Sports Reach Soccer School, and we've got spaces for the netball in the Easter holidays. We've got got a lot of spaces on the netball. We've still got some financial help available if there are children who wish to do that. Andy Garlick, who's sitting here, has got booking forms, or talk to him if you want further information. All the stuff about the church AGM has been sent out on our internet mailing list and all the rest of it. If you don't have the internet at home, or you prefer to have hard copies anyway, everything you need to know is out there on a little table just when you go out of this door. And on that occasion, after the AGM, there'll be an ordinary church meeting immediately afterwards, and that's when we have to reach a decision on whether or not we take on Mark Hurst as a minister in training in this church. Now, Catherine handed me a notice just asking me to remind parents, if you've got children singing on Good Friday in the morning, there is a practice here on Thursday evening at 5:15 to 5:45. And then we'd really appreciate it if the children could be brought to church 9:40 on Good Friday, so that there's just time to go through that song with them. It says here, please could all the children wear black. Does that mean all over? As much black as they can. Right, thank you. There was one further notice that popped up this morning, and it was to do with football. The church team has got through to the semi-final of the National Christian Cup. We've never got this far before in this competition. And the match is going to be held in Bromley, I think on the third Saturday in April. Is that the 20th? If there are, Rod and one or two others have said that it would really encourage these guys, most of whom had nothing to do with the church, although they proudly wear the Battle Baptist Church T-shirt, be encouraging if we could arrange some spectators to go up. And it has been mooted that if enough people are interested, we'd put on a coach. It won't be a freebie, you'll have to pay, but it might be a way of getting behind the football club and showing support. You don't have to like football to go, because you can just stand and enjoy the beautiful spring sunshine and pray about these people coming to the Lord, so you can turn a vice into a virtue if you're not a football fan, but you may just enjoy going. So that's that. Have a word with them. I suspect if you've got any real interest in that, speak to Andy or Gary Walsh or Francis. Oh, Francis is the main man. He is the chairman of the club, the main man. So he's the guy to let know. I think we're going to do something serious about this next Sunday in terms of getting people to sign up. Well, that was a load of notices. Let's just pray about them, shall we? Because, you know, I want this to be a meaningful week. Often people have said to me in the past that they've come to the morning meditations, they've come on Maundy Thursday, they've come on Good Friday, and they've come on Easter Day, and they have then really enjoyed Easter. This is a significant season in the life of our church. This is a significant time for us. Yeah, of course, it's great if visitors come, but I want to continue growing as a Christian. I want to continue meeting with the Lord, regardless of whether anybody else does. So I think, in a sense, Easter is one of those things that is really for the church to enjoy and to celebrate, to make the most of, to go through those times of reflection, as well as times of rejoicing. So there's quite a lot on offer. Just have a look through the notice sheet and then decide what you're going to come to. Father, we thank you for all that we're going to be doing this week. Lord, I thank you that we can have a week of it, really. And then it's going to be crowned with a great service of celebration and praise next Sunday. And we thank you, Lord, for all of this. And Lord, I pray that whoever comes to the morning meetings or Maundy Thursday or the Good Friday stuff or next week, Lord, I pray that whoever comes, you will have something to say to all of us as your word is read, as we worship you, as we reflect upon the journey you made to the cross, to the grave, and then to glory because of your great love for us. We pray that you would be with John now as he just opens your word to us. Lord, give him clarity in his preaching and give us understanding in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon. Hope everyone is well. I don't know what sort of a week you have had this week. Maybe it's been a bit of a nightmare. Maybe you've had a great week. But one thing I do know is you've all had a flipping cold week. Hasn't it been awful? My goodness. Well, today we're going to be thinking about the kind of week that Jesus and his disciples had. And it was his final week. You might say it was one hell of a week. You know, it all started off great for Jesus. Is there any way we can get some scripture up here? It's from the New King James Version. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to start at verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you might like to turn to them now. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. It says this, it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them to the road. Then the multitudes who went before them and those who followed cried out, 'Hosanna to the King, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" As Jesus approached Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover, it says that great crowds lined the streets and they went absolutely bananas for him as he passed by on a donkey. The donkey was a fulfillment, an Old Testament prophecy concerning the long-awaited Messiah Jesus, in contrast to how you might imagine a valiant and triumphant king would enter a city that was about to be conquered. There was no impressive stallion galloping with a vast army behind it. There was no shining armor or swords. There was no crowd, a crown that was encrusted with fine jewels upon Jesus' head. What they saw was God, the Prince of Peace. If Jesus went to number 10 Downing Street this afternoon, he would arrive in a Mini, not a Bentley Continental. The great crowds scattered palm branches onto the ground. They threw their jackets onto the ground and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." The crowds gathered and welcomed Jesus as King and Deliverer. Hosanna to the Son of David. The great crowds recognized Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. Salvation had come. Hosanna literally means, "Save us, we pray." The crowd shouted, and to their credit, they realized that Jesus was no ordinary man, but he possessed the authority and the power of God himself. They believed that Jesus had come not to deliver them from sin, but from Roman domination, and wanted Jesus to become their earthly king. You know, the miracles of Jesus by this time and his expressions of great love towards other people, it would have been common knowledge amongst the many who had gathered by the roadsides. Miracles showing his power over disease and demons. Men with leprosy were healed. Paralyzed men were healed. Blind men were made to see. Men with evil spirits were healed. The crowds may have heard about Jesus' miracles over nature, the calming of a great storm, the walking on water, a coin in the fish's mouth, the feeding of 4,000 and 5,000 people from heaven. Finally, miracles showing power over death. Jairus' daughter, whom Jesus brought back to life. There was the only son of a widow called Nain, and he was being carried in a coffin. And Jesus comes up to the coffin and he stops the procession. And by his word, he brings this guy back to life and he sits up in the coffin and he starts talking. Can you imagine that for a moment? And famously, a man called Lazarus, he had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus came to bring him back to life. He looked at the tomb and he simply said, "Roll away the stone from the tomb." And he said, "Lazarus, come out." Not even Dan Brown, the illusionist, could have pulled that off. You know, this event happened just a couple of miles down the road in Bethany. So it's fair to say that the people that are lined the streets would have heard about the miracles of Jesus. The crowd and the disciples, they would have thought that this is it. They would have thought that victory is ours. Jesus is going to defeat the Romans. Everyone will follow Jesus. We're all going to live happily ever after. What a result. At last, this is it. The waiting is over. Jesus wasn't interested in winning a war against the Romans. He was interested in winning an eternal war. A war over sin, a war over death, and a war over the devil. And winning an eternal war over sin, death, and the devil, and winning men and women's souls to live in a kingdom that is free from sin and that is free from evil. A kingdom without sin, a kingdom without pain, a kingdom without suffering and without death. Does anyone here want to live in such a kingdom? Amen. This great victory was to be won, not using violence or clever political words, but by the sword of truth. Jesus was the sword. He was the Word made flesh. Jesus accomplished victory using love, not hate, using mercy, not prejudice, peace, not violence, grace, not unkindness, and the ultimate sacrifice of himself for everyone here to save all mankind from the death of penalty of sin. It's very easy, isn't it, to presume how God should be, how he might tackle our problems in our lives and in the world. You see, often we think this is how God should act, this is what God should do, this is how God should answer us, and this is how God should be, don't we? That's why many in the world reject God today, as many did on Good Friday. It's very easy to forget that God has an incredible plan which goes way beyond what we can understand. And faith bridges the gap. But this we do know. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Could you pass me that water, please? Sorry. Thanks. The presence of Jesus in Jerusalem was so remarkable that it says in Matthew 21, verse 10, it says that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, it says the whole city was stirred and they asked, "Who is this?" My friends, I pray that today your hearts would be stirred by Jesus. If you invite Jesus into your life, if you will feel him stir in the depths of your heart, that's my prayer. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, you know what? It's widely believed that there are about 3 million people who would have been there. Jerusalem was rammed for the Passover when he entered through the Eastern Gate. 3 million. It would have been like being at 6 o'clock outside Next for their big clothes sale at the New Year. It was rammed and bustling. That's about 1 million people, less than the entire population of New Zealand. Every faithful Jew in the region would have been expected by law to attend the Passover in Jerusalem. Some Jews would have traveled weeks to get there. Some asked in verse 10, "Who is this?" Each of us today needs to answer this question for ourselves, because our conclusion will have eternal consequences. Was Jesus just a gifted speaker? Just a good teacher? Just a great bloke, just a historical figure. No, he was much more than that. That's why when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he was so remarkable. He loved you so much. He was God, and he came for you, and he died for you. If we accept today that he was the Son of God, my friends, today we will be saved from the consequences of our sins. As you will learn when you all come back here next Friday, the crowds were fickle. People today can be very fickle, and we can often get ahead of ourselves. You know, the crowds that have gathered may have presumed and expected different things from Jesus the Messiah as the events began to unfold during that week, which didn't live up to their expectations. You know, rather than praising him as they did on Palm Sunday, on his entry into Jerusalem, on the day of his trial, they cursed and rejected him, and they shouted, "Crucify him." Why? Because Jesus didn't do what they expected him to do. It's strange how easily disappointed we can be when things in our life don't seem to go the way we thought they ought to. When God doesn't do the things we expect of him to do in a way we think he ought to do it. Here is the thing that we need to be reminded about God. His ways are often completely the opposite of our ways. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, "My thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours, and my ways are different from yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and thoughts above yours." He says, "My word is like the snow and the rain that come down from the sky to water the earth. They make the crops grow and provide seed for planting and food to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. I will do everything I send it to do." After entering Jerusalem, Jesus heads straight for the heart of the chosen people of Israel. As Jesus enters the temple of God, he enters into the hearts of man. Matthew 21, verse 12. I wondered if we could get that up, please. It says, "Jesus went into the temple and he chased everyone out, everyone who was selling and buying. He turned over the tables of the money changers and the benches of the ones who were selling doves. He told them, 'The scriptures say that my house should be a house of worship, but you have turned it into a place where robbers hide.'" When you invite Jesus into your life, he will head straight for your heart and he will start turning things over in your life. All the things that have burdened you, all the things that have haunted you for years and robbed you of a life that deep down you know you were always born to live. That is the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Jesus cleanses the temple, and Jesus is in the business of cleansing lives. You see, our hearts should be places of worship toward God, not places cluttered up with rubbish. You were never born for that. He wants to cleanse our hearts, and he wants to fill you to the full with his love and with his light. The ruling body, they were called the Sadducees, and they were sad, you see. They had set up a nice little business in the temple. They controlled everything. They had all the money. They delighted in having all the control over the people. And do you know what? They only accepted part of the Bible. They rejected the idea of angels and demons. They rejected the idea of the resurrection of the dead, and they certainly didn't believe in any divine Messiah coming in to save things. They believed that when you were dead, you were dead. These guys were interested in just one thing, themselves. Jesus comes into the temple and he starts messing about with the one thing that was really sure to wind them up and to grab their attention. And guess what it was? It was money, money, money. The sad, you see, people had transformed a house of prayer into a supermarket with dodgy salesmen as cashiers. They no longer worshipped God, but they worshipped money. In essence, the Sadducees weren't just high priests, they were high-flying financial entrepreneurs into religion to make money. They ran an organized religion like a crooked, bent financial services institution that exploited people for their own pockets. Does that sound familiar? If you go to the cinema these days, if they catch you with a can of Coke or a bottle of lemonade that you might have smuggled into your jacket and a couple of marathons, maybe a bag of popcorn, they'll kick you out or they'll take it from you. You can only go into the cinema with what they sell you from the kiosk. A can of Coke, we know, only costs 50p down at the local supermarket. But their Coke costs 5 quid, and you can only buy a bucket of it. And it only comes in buckets, and packets of Rebels we know cost a quid at the cinema, but there you might have to pay £4. If you were the average Jew walking in with your lamb or dove or whatever you brought along, the animal sellers might stop you and look at your lamb and say something like, that doesn't look pure enough to sacrifice to God. It doesn't look very kosher. I'm not sure God will accept that. It's your blessed day because I happen to have 3 perfect lambs that you can sacrifice. In fact, I'll throw one in free. If you were a Jew traveling 200 miles or more, you'd be more likely to buy an animal in Jerusalem than bring your animal along for the 2-week journey, wouldn't you? Unless you were my dad. When my dad used to take me and my sisters on day trips, we always had packed lunches whilst everyone else seemed to tuck into chips and hot dogs and cheeseburgers and nice cool buckets of Coke whilst we ate our warm cheese sandwiches and our warm orange juice. How I longed for a hot dog. When I look back at the theme parks and the zoos, they were just ripping people off. Particularly the lazy ones for not bothering to make a packed lunch for their families. God commanded that his sheep should be fed, not fleeced. The temple of God had been transformed into a financial sheep-shearing abomination controlled by con men. Even the foreign coins needed to be exchanged for pure kosher Jewish coins before they were able to make their financial offering. And like today, there were very high commissions to be paid for the exchange. The good news is this, that today we are all priests in the kingdom of God. We all have equal access to the throne. You can never get shortchanged today when you approach God anymore. And through Jesus Christ, each one of us has access to the Father. We cannot approach God in any other way except through the Son. If you have tables in your lives today that you have been holding on to, that you have been wrestling with, let them go and ask Jesus to turn them over for you. Friends, I can see the runway. We're going to come to land in a moment. In Matthew 21, verse 13, Jesus said, "It is written," he said to them, "my house would be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." You know, in Matthew 24, it says that when Jesus left the temple and when he was walking away, when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings, he said, "Do you see all these things?" He asked, "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." After 40 years, about 40 years after Jesus said these words, do you know what happened to that temple? It was completely flattened by the Romans after a Jewish revolt went pear-shaped. There were no more Passovers. There were no more high priests sacrificing. There were no more Sadducees or Pharisees to be found. There was no more temple. God had completely removed it. You might be asking the question why. Here's what I believe Jesus wants to remind us about today And it's this. It's that the great one all-time sacrifice has been made for our pasts. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And he offers you a clean slate and has set you free from death. You have been made the holy children of God. Jesus gave his life on a cross in exchange for your life. You might be thinking, well, if the temple of God was destroyed 2,000 years ago, where can the temple be found today? It's to be found here. You have become the temple of God. You have become the resting place for the Spirit of God. You have been called holy. You are sacred to God. And you have become a house of prayer and a house of worship. Will you open your doors to him? Once all the clutter in the temple are gone, it says this in verse 14 of 21. It says, blind and lame people came to him, and Jesus healed them. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses were angry when they saw these miracles, and they heard the children shouting praises to the Son of David. If the arteries in your heart have been completely clogged up by second-hand furniture, sin, and you want a clearance sale in your heart today, invite Jesus into your life and he will transform you. He will forgive you your sins and he will grant you eternal life. You know, you might have been coming here for weeks, maybe months, maybe years, and may never have actually invited Jesus into your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart and be completely healed from your sins, today, make this prayer your own. It's your free choice. And here it is. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I have sinned, and today I come to you and ask for forgiveness. I am willing to turn away from sin. I want to go where you lead in the future. Thank you for dying on the cross so that I might be forgiven. Come into my life this day. Come in as my Savior and Lord. Come into my heart and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Could I have the band up, please? Well, the song we're going to finish with this afternoon is called There Is a Redeemer. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He made it possible for our sins to be redeemed. John has explained that clearly this afternoon. Let's stand and sing this song together.
Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father.
Thank you that you haven't left us alone, but that to all who believe, there is the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit and to know what it is to walk with you day by day. And so we pray that we might know you walking with us into this week in all the things that we have to do away from here. And we pray, Lord, that you will draw many of us back to here from time to time during the week so that we can be part of the celebration of all that this week means to us. Amen. Let's say together the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. Don't forget, we will not be having a 4 o'clock service next week.